All right, what up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chillby, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Laker 82-16. That's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. Your Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers, are coming off a 1-2 road stand after beating the Spurs with Anthony Davis and after losing to the Spurs without Anthony Davis. That brings us some things we need to address. We lost to Dallas before we beat the Spurs early in the week. That was kind of expected, just seeing how that game flowed out. I know guys were hurt, but we're going to talk about these Lakers. We're going to talk about them coming off of the in-season tournament and then how the drop-off, the energy boost, the letdown was sure to happen to some degree. And I know some Laker fans are really starting to get cranked up because it's trade season. Baby, all of that and much, much more next. All right, what up, though, man? What's up, people? How we doing? It's another day, another night. Whenever you listen to this, we appreciate you tuning in, but let's get into it, man. Let's talk about this current road trip that we just had after coming off and winning, you know, the in-season tournament. That's feeling like that was old news now. It's feeling like it's old news now because we had some real games. And during that stretch in the tournament, I think the Lakers played at a high level defensively. Were able to go undefeated during that stretch. Charles Barkley says he's going to trash the Lakers if they hang that banner. When we know he was very happy when they hung that Western Conference banner with the Phoenix Suns and probably with the Philadelphia 76ers, but he was in the East. And then he probably's not happy because he never hung a real banner in a championship. So, you know, another case of just ignorance and saying something for TV, which is fine. You know, I get it. But if you're going to have an in-season tournament and the first team to win it decide they're not going to hang a banner for it, that kind of kills any momentum of you moving forward with the tournament. So, albeit, you know, this is what fans are going to say. The Lakers hang, you know, championship banners, not these little, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get it. But as the NBA, they probably had a talk with the Lakers, with the organization, with the owners and say, listen, if we're going to go our way and push this tournament as big as we did, can you at least hang a banner so we can legitimize it, make it look like it's supposed to be something that is, you know, special? And that's all they're trying to do. This is something the NBA's marketing, they're trying to push out there to the fans. It actually gave us something to talk about in the month of November and December. And I like the way the Lakers are probably going about doing it, how they're going to make it, where it's not like a championship NBA Finals banner, but it's going to be like its own banner, and they're going to kind of put the year in. And so if they win others, they can just, you know, add to it. I like that. See, that's something I can get down with. I really can care less if they're hungry or not. But I knew either way, since the Lakers won it, it was going to be some people pushing back on it. You know, and now they're going to be like, how are you going to, you know, win this and then lose the finals? You know, it's a lot to go with it. But if the Pacers would have won it, it would have been great. If any other team would have won it, you know, it wouldn't have been as much pushback. But since LeBron won it, of course they're going to have things to say. And then you turn around, and once I found out the injury reports that were coming, and we were kind of, you know, we put a lot of energy into that game and into that series, Vando's out. And when I see Vando's out, we're going against Dallas, I immediately put that as probably a loss. Because we just don't have a big enough body. That although Cam Reddish did fare against Luka, when it came down to it, when it was on the bottom, you know, when the game was on the line, you know, Darvin Ham and his scheme of wanting Dante Exum to be the guy to have to take that three, who very well has shot, you know, in a small sample size, 28% from the three-point line. Well, as the game goes on, we throw those out the window, that stat. This guy was cooking. He was getting wide open threes. We were just letting him shoot it. Tim Hardaway Jr. always finds a way to come out and just have big games against the Lakers. Just never understood it, because if he was ever a guy to put on that gold uniform, purple and gold, he would miss everything. It just goes with the territory. But yeah, he's a guy who always does that. It was just kind of unfortunate watching Dante Exum just have a career night. And it's nothing that the Lakers did to stop that. They just live with it. It's the game plan. I also know it's a regular season, so you're not about to have a playoff type of mentality in a regular season game. But as a fan, it's definitely frustrating to look up and you see over and over again the same guy left wide open killing you. And as you can tell it was the game plan because these guys were sinking so far in and allowing Luka to throw that pass. Now, I ain't gonna lie, that one pass he threw with the one hand and went like right past Rui's hand and face, that was hard. That was tight. You know, that was. And then when the game's down to it, and we kind of come back and we do some things, Luka kind of just goes to hit the hunt. You know, he's getting guys he want out there. He's hunting out the guys he want. And they're setting up where they're pulling AD away, making sure he's not going to be a factor in the Luka Doncic's ball screen, pick and roll, you know, isolation game. And you can tell the Lakers are not interested in fully committing to putting that much energy into a game defensively. Because they're thinking about that back-to-back. And as we move on past that, because Dallas won. The Spurs game, no LeBron, these guys, he set out. And AD was able to have a dominating experience in game against the Spurs. Even on a gimpy ankle and having the hip issues, he still put on a show. Yeah, still put on the show. Wemby versus AD, you know, Wemby got some get back, but AD pretty much was the guy. And I was like, yeah, we barely squawked by that game because Darvinham in this lineup at the end, no Cam Reddish, none of these guys out here. Now we see the Cam is battling some soreness. So we sneak by them on the first matchup. But now when I see LeBron's back, and as soon as I seen the report comes to AD's not playing, I chalk that as a loss. Yeah, it's just what it is. You know what I think. Like, AD is the leader and anchor of this defense. LeBron is the leader of this offense. And that's just how it goes, okay? That's just how it goes. So with no AD, and you got Jackson Hayes, who for the life of him, he cannot do the verticality rule to save his life. He jumps up and always brings his hands down. And he has like five fouls in no time. Christian Wood is not a real center, not a real big. He's a stretch guy. And, you know, I'm hearing people complaining about trading him. I'm not going to talk about that person. But I'm just like, Christian Wood's not the problem. Okay, he's not the solution either, but he's not the problem. He's a minimum paid guy. I can care less about him being traded or getting off the team unless he's in a package deal for somebody who's going to help him. But one thing that this Spurs game and other games that will show, because we still have a Denver problem, it shows that we have issues. We need shooting. Even though Torian Prince has shot better, we still need shooting. Cam Reddish is not reliable enough. He's okay. You know, Vando has proven, even in his short sample size back, he's not going to shoot it anyway. So we'll never see if he really improved. Christian Wood, three-pointer is non-existent. Gabe Vincent is out. Austin Reeves has been able to shoot it. D'Lo, who's been struggling. But we're proving that we had some issues. Shooting, we have point of attack, defense, and from the guard position, not just the wings, but the guard position. Shot creation and a big behind Anthony Davis. What are we going to do first? So when I come back, we'll talk about the flaws of this Lakers team and what direction they might go that includes a certain individual. And we still have flaws if we make this trade. All that and a little bit more right after this. All right, we are back. Thank you for tuning in on our platforms to the Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 8216. And when you're done listening with me, go check out my boy JR with the All Things Sports Podcast. I think he just gave his quick thoughts, and he gave some thoughts he had on the Draymond Green thing. I think I'm going to revisit that conversation at the end just to have some fun with that. But go check out the All Things Sports Podcast with JR. Yeah, after you get done with Laker 8216. Now, here we are, man. We're talking about the flaws of the Lakers. Flaws of the Lakers is showing, and it shows depending on the matchups. Like I was telling JR and others, I was like, if we make a trade, what are we going to address? Are we going to address the shooting? Are we going to address the shot creation? Are we going to try to address a combination of things? Are we going to address the big situation we have with no AD or behind AD? Because when AD goes out the floor, our defense just goes out the window. It seems when they say when LeBron goes out the floor, the plus minus, both of these things are true. But which one is going to be addressed? Because you don't have many shots to take. You're only going to make one move. If you're making a big move, you're only going to make one of them. Now, if you're going to make, marginal moves around the edges, then you might trim some fat off the edges and see if you can get some things here that won't completely take away your depth. Because if you go Zach LaVine hunting, you're going to dip into your depth, and it might not be a bad thing. Because I know right now, if we were talking about D'Lo 2 weeks ago, this guy was probably playing some of the best basketball of the season, the way he was, scoring the basketball. But now, these last 2 weeks, he's been in a slump for the three-point line. He's still been playmaking. He's the only person outside of LeBron that can get the ball to AD, or at least tries to, because I love Austin Reeves. He's a smooth operator when he's attacking the basket. But for the life of him, he can't make a great entry pass or pick-and-roll pass to anybody. It's kickball. It's turnover. It's too low. It's annoying when I see him try to make that pass, because it doesn't happen. But his ability to get, put the guys in jail, so to speak, on the pick and roll, snake dribble, get in front of them, manipulate it, get fouled, not as much as he was last year, but get to the free throw line or just make a tough two. And he's shooting the ball well from outside as well. But, AD can't get the ball from him. He's not good at getting AD to basketball. D'Lo is. But I know everybody wants to trade D'Lo right now. So if you're trading D'Lo and Rui, or you're trading D'Lo and Torian Prince and JHS and all these guys, and you're going LaVine hunting, LaVine's going to help you on the offensive end, not going to help you as much on the defensive end. The thing you really should be worried about with Zach LaVine, because I was telling Taylor, I'm just waiting for the move, or lack thereof, if there is a move. I don't want to see what happens. I want to see what it looks like. Because if you get Zach LaVine, my biggest things is you should worry about the contract and the help. The contract is lengthy. That means you're saying you're pairing him with AD for the long haul. And the health with the feet and the knees and whatever the lower body extremity injuries are, you're accepting those and you're taking that chance. Those are the biggest concerns. But also defensively, and is he going to be a playmaker to get AD the ball, or is he just going to be a scorer or a downhill threat? He's a three-level scorer, of course. But a lot of fans are just up in the air with this, because, he hasn't put a lot of good things on tape. He hasn't put a lot of good, film out there right now. Film, still an old-school word. Yeah, he's not making a lot of highlights right now. That's what I'm getting at. But he's been hurt, so you're thinking, is he really hurt just because, they want to not let him get injured so they can trade him? Or is he hurt in the point that, he needs to sit out and heal and rest up? And if you're going to trade Rui or whoever for him, then that has to wait till January. Because right now, everybody who's trade eligible is is Cam Reddish and Christian Wood and Gabe Vincent and all these guys. But if you want to trade Rui, you got to wait until January 15th. So it's just amazing that, this team is in a spot where I feel like even if you make that trade or trades, you can't address everything. So now as a fan base, as an organization for them, but us as a fan base, which one do you feel like is more important? Do you want the big body where I don't know where you're going to find it? That means you probably got to go like the Andre Drummond route again, just a big body guy. Valanciunas makes too much. It doesn't really make a lot of sense financially to get a guy like him. The buyout market, I don't know where you go with the big. But you're hitting Alex Caruso. Utah's looking to break it up. Chicago's looking to break it up. Toronto's looking to break it up. Can the Lakers pull out some type of funky move that we didn't see coming? Possible. But right now, everything seems to be pointing towards Zach LaVine. And, people asking my thoughts on it. And I tell them I don't have a lot of, good and bad. I'm just in a wait and see. I don't want to see what it looks like, what it costs to get them, and and how long will it take to fit. But if you get Zach, you still have flaws. If you get a big, you still have flaws. If you get some shooting, do they bring anything else? You know, it's just a lot to ask for when you're looking at this, because Anthony Davis needs another big with him, because when he goes out, it's a dumpster fire in the big category. And we're not going to survive against some of the teams that will give us problems. You know, that's not going to solve your Denver problem. That's not going to solve your Embiid problem. That's not going to solve teams that, you know, especially if AD continues to be nicked up and dinged up and limping, teams that like to attack the basket. Sacramento, I think, even poses a threat. If we don't address the shooting, now you got an OKC problem. Now you got a Dallas problem. You still have a Kings problem. It's just amazing. If you don't address the shot creation, you know, now you have, like, you know, the problems when you go against the Denvers again. You know, it's just the Clippers. Like, teams that can sit out and they can play defense on you, or they're going to score enough and you can't go back and forth with them. It's just a lot of holes we have to fill. It's really three main holes and maybe one or two small ones, but you know where you fill them all. So I ask you, what do you think the Lakers should do? Because I'm just sitting back waiting to see what the move is going to be. Then I can judge it after we get, you know, I give you the predictions, look at the eye test after it actually plays a couple of games. How early is it made? The health of Gabe Vincent coming back. What is he going to look like? Is he going to help us out with point of attack defense from the guard perspective? It's not a lot of positive in this episode. It's not a lot of positive right now, even after having a good in-season tournament. Because now, you know, we're getting the trade season is kicked off. So, of course, everybody's going to start pointing toward that. With D'Lo, you know, D'Lo didn't play either. Against the Spurs. D'Lo, Cam Reddish, AD, none of these guys played against the Spurs. So, it was just LeBron and Austin, the only ball handlers. JHS, he didn't play, you know. So, this team has a lot of spots in it, but I still look at it and say, we are nowhere near the issue we were this time last year. So, I say, guys, calm down. Let's just see what happens. I think we are one of the better teams in the NBA, but are we top four in the league good? I don't know. Are we top four or four in the West good? Maybe. I think so. But we'll see what we look like after this trade deadline. So we're gonna find out. And when I come back, I want to address the Draymond Green thing and what my boy JR said, have some fun with that and give my thoughts on his thoughts. Alright, let's wrap this up. Let's put this episode to bed. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. But before I get out of here, I wasn't really going to talk about the Draymond Green thing. But now that they've kind of told us he's suspended indefinitely, and you got a lot of talking heads coming out talking about it, I agree with a lot of what everybody's saying. Something needed to be done. When I seen it happen, I'm just like, what's wrong with this guy? Not in the sense of what everybody else is kind of though, you know. With Nurkic and KD coming out saying, this guy needs help. And then you got people who are, you know, making this seem like, you know, like he's just trying to be a tough guy. And even JR saying that something's wrong with him. Maybe it's something outside the basketball. The only thing I disagree with JR is when he was saying that this guy checked out years ago. I don't really agree with that. I don't really say it that way. I think I know what he means, but say it, so you're saying he's ready to retire? That's what we're saying? Like he doesn't want to play basketball anymore? That what you're saying? He just re-upped on that money? Like, and I agree with the point that the dynasty thing that's possibly ending, that is definitely taking a toll. But if we look back at it, when they were winning and he done dumb stuff, you know, it was okay. But now when you're losing, when things are going right, when your team doesn't have that strength in numbers model, now you start to see as these guys get older. Okay. You know, Klay's getting older. I don't care about him having a 40-point game in the next 2 weeks, because if they don't win, it doesn't matter. He's had 40-point games before. Gilbert Arenas is kind of what I see and believe is that he's got to a point now where he doesn't have any more tricks left in there. You know, you can't teach your old dog new tricks, not calling Clay old, but after the injuries that zapped some of his superpower away from as far as being a two-way player. But like, I think it's just a lot of age and Steph having to do a lot. Steph deserves better. just how they do LeBron drives me nuts. But with Draymond, I don't feel like, I don't know. We never see him act out in a way that's not between the lines. So if he was really having issues, we would have heard about some crazy stuff he does other places that might be kind of stemming toward this. But if his issues are in between the lines, I think he just mad because, you know, team's getting some get back now. Ain't no more 20-point, 30-point lead sitting in the fourth quarter no more. So Draymond looking like the guy who's been the bully for a while, and now the bully's getting beat. You know, getting beat up, or the bully's not as effective anymore. His voice doesn't carry that weight. Debo, Draymond Green, I think that's over. But I will say one thing that I'll address about this that I find annoying is his team never checked it. And so it was kind of hilarious seeing that. And then watching and seeing that other teams don't check it is another thing I found that's hilarious. I don't understand exactly what that's about. Like, nobody wants to come to the aid of Rudy Gobert. Come on, you know, Ant-Man. You're the leader of the team. Come on, Cat. You know, Ant and Cat, I need one of you guys to be a dog. Okay? the Suns, you know, they're not going to do anything. I don't care about KD coming out talking about this guy needs help. The league was saying you needed help when you had your burner account. Like, I don't want to hear these. Don't be playing victim just because he done roughed up a couple of you guys. If y'all had an issue about it, one of y'all been thumped that noggin a long time ago, but you didn't, and you haven't. I say, go over there and try Isaiah Stewart, Draymond. Let's go see if he's out of control and loose cannon when he plays against the Pistons. Go over there and try that guy. Go do that. Let's see what happens there. I don't know if he wants that type of vintage, you know. So he picks and chooses what he wants, and I don't, you know. Go to Milwaukee. Go try Giannis, and watch old Thanos come off the sideline. His brother. I don't know how to say his name. I call him Thanos. I'm not buying it. I think it's just him out here trying to, you know, let out some frustration, doing dumb things once again. Doesn't look cute when you're not winning. So the Warriors dynasty may be over. I feel like it's very much on the cliff, on the cups of falling off. But this doesn't have anything to do with their dynasty. You know, this right here has been made out to be, this is a Draymond problem. And I'm not about to let them scapegoat Draymond saying he's the issue and the reason. And him not being on the floor, whether he's playing or he's not. This team has hit a level that we never thought we'd see. Bob Myers jumped off that bandwagon and got out of that house before the fire spread. And it's not even the player's fault. It's not Steph's fault. Draymond got that big contract, which he should have got it, from his perspective. That's a team, you have issue now. You got Draymond, who's acting crazy. You got Clay, who, you know, who's kind of in his own head. I do agree with JR on that. He's in his own head, but he's also aging. So, you know, maybe he's going through something. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know. You got these young guys in Kuminga, Moody, and all these guys who, you know, they're trying the best they can, but this Steve Kerr-led team has never been one that relied on its youth other than the ones that were the stars and the superstar. So it's just a mess. So as people look at our Lakers, I want you to look at the Warriors. I want you to look at the Warriors. And I'm not as upset about what my Lakers got going on, because the Warriors got a lot more issues than we do. Okay? I mean, isn't it got to the point now, but we don't even talk about, like, we can't even talk about Steph and his greatness, because it's being overshadowed by, you know, by Clay, and people want to kind of call him out. I know I'm on that bandwagon, but I don't really mean it to be, you know, distasteful, you know. Apologize if it come off that way. But I said it before, it was, you know, popular, cool, for the reasons of injuries mostly. And with the Draymond thing kind of being, you know, it's overshadowing, but it's a lot of things. Now, this is not Golden State Warriors 82-16, so I'm not going to go into what I think it is. But, yeah, man, just looking at it, Lakers trade, we'll just wait and see what happens with that. So enjoy these next couple weeks and see what this team can do if we can stay healthy. Gabe Vincent is supposed to come back. Hopefully the whole team comes back. I want to win against the Knicks Monday. AD having like 4 days of rest. I want that win. So let's hope we get it. Appreciate you guys tuning in. It's your boy CB Chill B. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast. Laker 82-16. Talk to you next time.